adoro cosia sarada che sotto to crono no cosia ti ho ciara nana e soro no no cosia radi haria nana e soro do con ciara nana e sotto to co tunia nana e haria no to ciara nana e ciara nana e crono do con hisha da 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 cosia radi adoro cosia nana e hiria nama rodo ia ciara nani Hiriana maro roko shiara nanai shiara roko roro roko shiara di Hishara roko to roko shiara darati Horiara da da roko shiara da da. We speak life. We speak life into every situation. The life of God into every situation. That breath of God into every situation. Horiana nanai shiara nanai ka roro roko shim Horiana nanai kia roko. Life into the blood right now. Speaking life into the blood into this room. People being healed of blood disorders. Sokiaradai, Hishantana Nakotio Rodoko Sierra Rada Kiara Babarato, Horionianiana Nakaro Rodoko Sierra D. Your life, O Lord, your life, O Lord, your life, O Lord, flowing through every vein, every cell, every molecule, Father, in this room. Your life, Father. Sotiaradaka Sodoko Sierra Rabi, Hishananianiana Nakasia.
Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just go a minute or two longer. Can you do that? Jesus. Jesus. Rebokosa kalamadana ramanka renerenerenereneka. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shuta loromukira na la ramanka na ra na 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 na. Tibusalarandre. Now I hear the Lord saying that the day of the one preacher being able to get the job done by himself is over. It's going to take a strong, united stand of the church, people like you in the pew, that take your calling for prayer, your calling for support of Pastor Bob's vision, just as serious as Pastor does. I really hear the Lord saying that right now, that the day of the single man of God being able to bullet all the way through, it's not enough anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I also hear the Lord saying, now that He has empowered you by the Holy Ghost and fire to stand up and to play your part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's a fire that He has placed on the inside of you, just like it's a fire He's placed on the inside of Pastor Bob Nichols, that you won't be able to quench, that you won't be able to shut up. It'll be easier for you to go to the place of prayer than to hang out with everybody that one particular night and have a party and with the friends and go watch a movie, even though it's a good party and a good friend and good friends. It'll be easier for you to go to the place of prayer. It'll be easier for you to step and wield the sword in the realm of the Spirit and do your part. I'm telling you, that's the way it is when you've laid your life down for the gospel. That's the way it is when there's a fire burning on the inside of you. It's easier for you to run to the place of prayer than it is to sit in front of the television. There are times I've been so compelled, I could not sit in front of the television. I had to get up and walk away from it. Not because it was bad, not because there was a bad language, none of that. But the Spirit of God was driving me. I declare in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God begins to drive those of you here. In the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a call and there's a mantle being placed out right now for that. Hallelujah. Some of you, many of you need to receive greater boldness. Hallelujah. In prayer, to believe that you're hearing from God and to take what you have heard and bring it to Pastor. In the right way. You know, don't come and take an hour of his time after the service, but write it down and give it to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God that as you do that, whatever your part is, I'm telling you it is making a much bigger impact than you can see in the natural. And I'm telling you right now that the devil is also coming to bring doubt and tell you that it doesn't matter, that what you're doing and your part to play doesn't matter, but it's making a huge difference in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I really believe that some of the terrorist attacks and things that we've seen, beheading and things that we've seen in up in Connecticut, wherever it was last year, New Hampshire, I believe some of these things would not happen in a certain parameter, a certain proximity of a church like Calvary Cathedral that's full of the Spirit of God, because the devil is just not going to find enough room. There's too much light coming out from a place like this for stuff like that to go on. I remember back in the 90s, I believe, when the shooting was at Wedgewood Junior High or Middle School. No, the church, excuse me, Wedgewood Baptist Church. That the guy, before he went and started shooting people, went into the church and asked, "Do you know how to cast out a devil?" Well, I can tell you what the answer would have been if somebody had come into Calvary Cathedral. They'd have said yes, and the devil would have been gone, and there'd have been no shooting that would have taken place, because we know who we are. Hallelujah. You have no idea the difference. And I want to encourage you that you are making a huge difference in the realm of the Spirit, just playing your part. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord's call and the Lord's commission is not just for the one in the pulpit, but it's for every person. Hallelujah. And I give you a mandate that you take your personal call just as serious as Pastor takes his. Hallelujah. Because there are things that we as a preacher just can't push through by ourselves. There is not enough time in the day sometimes for me to pray like I need to pray to get the job done. If I didn't have people that I knew that I could call that could pray. I'm telling you, I made a desperate call for prayer today. There's not enough time in the day for pastor to pray through. Imagine I want you to open your eyes to the realm of the Spirit and see the mantle that pastor has for the city of Fort Worth. Imagine all of the things that need to be prayed through, all the things that need to be dealt with. There's not enough time in the day for pastor to pray all that through. But without prayer, the preaching and the prophesying of the word and the pulpit focus is not going to have the meat in the, it's not going to pack the punch that it would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you go ahead and take a seat? If you guys, Kevin and Johnny, can y'all just keep helping me for a little bit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sunday night, I had felt like I had a word I just need to share. I don't think I've ever done that. I've been here 21 years now. I don't think I've ever done that, but Pastor asked me to share it because you hear talk here in the U.S. about there's one side that's saying revival's hitting this nation. This nation is going to be shaken by the power of God. And then you hear other prophetic words and things saying judgment, judgment. And I just had a burden in my heart because it's true what Bill Bright said. You know, well, there's not going to come another revival. And I just had a burden in my heart, and I want you to hear what it says in Mark. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 33. I'm telling you, such an anointing hit Sunday night. And Jesus is in Capernaum, and he just stands up in the synagogue on this Sunday morning, a Sabbath morning, and he begins to preach. The power of God's so strong on Jesus as he begins to preach that a devil cries out. He casts out the devils of the man, and then he begins to leave, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And by the end of that same day, the entire city was gathered at the door of Jesus. Verse 33, it says, all the city was gathered together at the door. In verse 34, he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and those that were with him followed after him. And then when they found him, they said, all men seek for thee. So Jesus is in Capernaum. The Bible says the night before, every man, everybody in the entire town was gathered at the door of Jesus. And now he's trying to leave and everybody is seeking for Jesus. So he has a citywide revival in less than 24 hours, shakes the entire city. But the government and the leadership of this city did not repent. And I felt led to encourage you tonight and Sunday night, turn over with to me to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verse 23. Awesome, y'all. That'll be good. You can take a little rest there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. And see what actually happened with Capernaum, because we went on an Israel trip there. Capernaum was my favorite city that we went to. They had to unbury the city. And look at what Jesus said. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. So here we see Jesus talking to Capernaum, and he's telling them that you Capernaum, that have been exalted up to heaven are going to be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works that had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah were done here, that they would have, Sodom and Gomorrah would have remained until this day. And he says, you're going to be brought down to hell. So the same city that experienced all these miracles, the same city that Jesus literally resided at, he was kicked out of Nazareth, in Luke chapter 4, and he went to Capernaum. And if you study the synopsis of the Gospels, you will see that Jesus, it's apparent that he made his ministry residence and based his ministry out of Capernaum. So God Almighty himself in the flesh has based his ministry there at Capernaum, and these great and tremendous miracles are taking place. It says Jesus said that Capernaum was exalted up into heaven. But at the same time, the leadership of that city did not repent. And I want you to know that there can be something going on in the leadership of a government. There can be something going on in the leadership of a nation, but that does not reflect the status of the church. Can you say amen? The entire city was gathered at the door of Jesus. So while there was rebellion in the leadership of the city, while the city was not honoring God, the people there still honored God, and the entire city came and served God. Hallelujah. So I want you to know tonight, regardless of what you hear, the leadership of our nation, the leadership of a state, the leadership of a city can and possibly will go the wrong direction. We may see terrible things take place in this nation, but that doesn't mean that the preaching of the gospel has to take a secondary position to what has taken place in the political place. I want you to know that the preaching of the gospel takes precedence over the political realm. The preaching of the gospel is the highest form of power that there is. It can turn a city around in a day. It can turn a nation around in a day. Glory to God. The preaching of the gospel and the working of Christians and the strength of the body of Christ is not determined by what kind of liberty that the political realm gives us. Truth be known, the preaching of the gospel and the freedom of Christianity is what brought this nation to the place that it is in order that we could have politics that we have. The very foundation that politicians stand on here in the United States is the one that they're shooting away with a lot of their legislation. Hallelujah. I want to read this to you, because we need to understand and be aware of what's taking place. And I'm going to back it up with scripture. Hallelujah. Here in Houston, if you saw this, I'm just going to read some of this to you. This article that I read from the Tea Party News Network, Todd Starnes. Christians across the nation are mobilizing to defend a group of Houston pastors who are ordered by the city to turn over any sermons dealing with homosexuality, gender issues, to the Houston mayor. Their message is simple. Don't mess with Texas preachers. I'm glad we've got some guys down there that are full of boldness and authority. Hallelujah. Dave Welts, the executive director of the Texas Pastor Council, is one of five ministers who received a subpoena. He said he will not be intimidated by Anise Parker, who is the city's first openly lesbian mayor, nor will he comply to the city's demands. My answer to that is, bring it on, he said. Houston city attorney issued subpoenas in a response to a lawsuit filed related to the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance. They gave it the acronym HERO. You've got to be kidding me. The city's new non-discrimination ordinance, also known as the bathroom bill, which this new law, which is yet to take effect, would, among other things, allow men who identify themselves as women to use the restrooms of their choice and vice versa. Opponents launched a petition to drive the issue on the ballot. However, the city threw out the petitions, claiming that there were not enough legitimate signatures. In other words, they tried to stop it. The city claimed the signatures were not legitimate. And then they filed a lawsuit which led to the issue of subpoenas. Ironically, none of the five subpoenaed pastors were in the lawsuit. Let me continue on reading here. And Russell Moore, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, told me the city needs to mind its own business. Just reading what this writer wrote. The government has absolutely no reason to bully congregations who are speaking out about what they believe. It's none of the government's business. Alliance Defending Freedom, a law firm specializing in religious cases, is representing the pastors. They accuse City Hall of going on a fishing expedition. City Council members are supposed to be public servants, not Big Brother overlords who will not tolerate or dissent or challenge. This is designed to intimidate the pastors. Attorney Feldman denied that this was the case. And Russell Moore, as I read, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said, it didn't sound like something that would happen in America. It's shocking in its audacity and it's buffoonish in its tragedy. I can't imagine who in City Hall thought this was a good idea. Praise God, these people are fighting back. And then just skipping to the end here. This is about a group of pastors refusing to comply with the demands of the government. They refuse, as far as I understand, all five of these pastors refuse to turn in their notes and their subject matter. They refuse to comply with the demands of the government, and they do so at the risk of being held in contempt of court. Heaven forbid this happens, but if it does, I for one will gladly, this is the writer saying this, I for one will gladly fly to Houston with a toothbrush in hand and join these brave men of God behind bars. Hallelujah. So what we're dealing with is real. You know, so here just 206 miles away, if you pull it up on Google Maps, I'm pretty sure the distance, I've done it so many times in the freight business, 206 miles, you may know Troy. 206 miles away, we have something going on like this. And so my message tonight is revival and judgment, a nation at stake. I want you to know that we do have a nation at stake, and if we want to lean towards politicians and lean towards government, now don't get me wrong, it's vitally important that we have Christians and men and women of God in politics. We need to campaign around them, support them, and get them in politics so craziness like this doesn't happen. However, that's not our first resort to power and influence. Our first resort to power and influence is the preaching of the Word of God. We cannot let the craziness that's going on in the nation, when we've got a president that stands up and says, whatever America was or used to be, it is no longer a Christian nation. We can't let comments like that begin to dumb down the power and the effectiveness that we have in our preaching and in our prayer and our prophesying of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It was boldness and preaching and revivals that brought this nation to the place that it is right now. Tell you, the first great awakening shook this nation in the 1700s. In the 1800s, the second great awakening shook this nation again. To the point that alcohol was outlawed. Then in the 50s, there was a tremendous healing revival that was amazing. What God did in that revival was amazing. It affected Hollywood. I've seen several Hollywood films that had miracles taking place in the films, and they weren't mocking miracles. One of them actually had. They brought a crippled man, or with, I can't remember what the disease was. They brought a crippled man to the house of a healing evangelist in the movie. And they showed the guy getting prayed for, the healing events, prayed for this guy, and the guy gets completely healed, and they weren't making fun of it. And I don't remember if it was on the coin or on the dollar, but that was during the 50s. They added "In God We Trust" on our currency. It was either on the coin or the dollar. I can't remember. Tremendous move of God that took place. The politics, the nation that we have today is a result of the revivals that we have had in years gone by due to the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, just because there are things taking place, you cannot misunderstand the prophetic words that are accurate, that prophesy some of the craziness that's taken place in the realm of politics here in the United States. It will take place. Look, there are some people that are not going to repent. There are some politicians and leaders in our nation that are not going to repent. Just like the leadership of Capernaum didn't repent, but the preaching of the gospel, when you go to the annals of heaven today, Capernaum and the people of Capernaum are sitting there in heaven enjoying the blessing of eternity and salvation that they have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I dare say it was probably 80 or 90% of the people in that day, because it said the entire city was gathered at the door of Jesus. And the next day, the entire city was still pursuing him. People do not do that when they are not coming to Jesus for salvation. Just because the governmental leadership that is temporary does something doesn't mean that the power of the preaching of the Word of God is brought to naught. Hallelujah. And don't misunderstand me. We are here to lift up the hands of our city in every righteous way possible. But if there are things that we can't stand for according to the Word, then we just can't stand for those things. And our mind has to be made up. Because people have already been put in jail for this. The high school that I went to, there was a kid that said something about a homosexual poster that was hanging on the wall, and they expelled him out of school just like that. Your mind has to be made up. They got him back into school. Praise God, somebody countered the suit and got him back in school and got the teacher out of school for putting up something like that. But our mind has to be made up, and we cannot have our head in the sand about what is going on. We can't have our head in the sand and try to think, well, it's all just a merry, rosy day, and everything's going to be like it was back in the 50s, and it's going to be all pristine, and beaver, leave it to beavers the way my life's going to be. Praise God if that's the way it is. But I'm telling you, there are things taking place right now in the nation, like what I just read to you, that we cannot ignore. I got to think, you know, I'm on television here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and I have people once a week probably coming up to me saying, I saw your show. And I have, you know, I'm thinking about the same kind of thing. Am I ready? What if somebody issued me a subpoena? How serious are we about this? Are you an American Christian or are you a gospel Christian? My message tonight, a revival and judgment, a nation at stake. It takes leadership. Somebody handed me this. I don't even know who it was. It just showed up on my knee this in the service. Exodus 10, 21 through 23 is right on. I'm going to read from Exodus. Actually, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to refer to you there because you know the scripture. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, there arose a Pharaoh in Egypt that didn't know Joseph and did not, and basically dishonored and didn't respect God. And you know the story, how they began to take the Israelites into bondage. And I want to make the point, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established. So if it happened in Capernaum, where there's a body of people that served and followed God, but the leadership didn't, and there was a division, and God brought judgment to that place, then it can happen, and it also happened with the children of Israel in Egypt. They were members of Egypt. They were citizens of Egypt for 400 years. And everything was going pretty good, but there at the end, they weren't in bondage. They didn't have some horrible dictator beating them over the brow of their head for 400 years. It was just there at the very end, a Pharaoh went bad. And as a side note, it's important that you understand that God just didn't leave his people for 400 years just being treated as horrible slaves. It was just at the very end, and God delivered them promptly. However, they were citizens of this country, Israelites dwelling in Egypt for 400 years. So here again, we see that the leadership of a nation didn't follow God, but a people group on the inside did, and God delivered and brought blessing and righteousness to the people of God, while the nation that was full of evil and rebelled against God had judgment come against them and was brought to naught. Actually, turn to Exodus chapter 14. We'll read verses 19 through 31. And if you want to read this too, Exodus 10, 21 through 23, it's where Moses stretched forth his hand and called darkness upon the land. But we'll go to Exodus 14, 19 through 21. So you can see the judgment, how God brought judgment. And we've got to understand when God talks about judgment, God's judgment is not God just up in heaven saying, "All right, I've had enough. I'm ticked off now. I'm just going to go wipe out a city." That's foolishness. And that's why we have so much misunderstanding, why when you see an insurance claims, you know, so-and-so weather situation that destroyed a building was an act of God. Total foolishness. God's not up in heaven getting emotional and mad and losing patience with a people group and just wiping out a city, righteous and unrighteous. That's not the judgment of God. My message tonight is revival and judgment, a nation at stake. We can preach revival and see revival take place, and the judgment of God will come on the righteous and give us a righteous judgment. You can go to court, somebody can accuse you of having done something that you were innocent of, and praise God, judgment comes to you and declares that you are righteous. Hallelujah. So you can have righteous judgment in the middle of a city that could be going crazy. And I'm not saying that's happened here, but across the United States, of the things that you hear about in the middle of craziness in a city and in a nation, the people of God can stand in righteousness. And when God declares judgment, the people of God will be judged righteously, and the people that are evil will be judged unrighteously. It'll be a righteous judgment, but they will be judged as unrighteous. That's what God did with Egypt. And look how clear God's judgment was. Let me tell you right now that there will be seasons of judgment that will come on a city, seasons of judgment that will come on a land and on a nation and on a people group. But the judgment on each individual is not the same. We can't shy away from the judgment of God because it's real. And it's New Testament too. We're about to get there in a little bit. But Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. Hallelujah. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind him, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them and came between the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was cloud and darkness to them, but gave light by night to the Israelites, so that one came not near the other all night. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over all the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went up in the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went on in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. That was a bad move right there. And it came to pass that in the morning that the Lord looked on the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels. So they drove heavily, that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them and against the Egyptians." Praise God. When the people of God have the guts and the boldness to stand up and do it and stand up in faith and not be moved, we're going to see that the enemies of the people of God, the haters of God, the haters of good, the haters of righteousness, the ones that call evil good and call good evil, God's going to begin to deal with situations that we never could have in the realm of the natural. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, because the judgment of God is real, and woe unto the person that thinks they're going to tempt the judgment of God. Woe unto the leaders. Woe unto the mayor. Woe unto the governor. Woe unto the city councilman. Woe unto the senators. Woe unto the president that thinks they're going to tempt the judgment of God in the seasons that God has. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again unto the Egyptians upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. God's using the authority of a man. He stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea, in verse 27, returned to his strength. And when the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it, the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great was the work which the Lord did among the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Hallelujah. So God brings revival and judgment at the same time. My message tonight, revival and judgment, a nation at stake. The stake of the nation, the place of the nation is going to come down to preachers and the people of God. Not just preachers, but you in the pew, the preacher in the pulpit that has the boldness like Moses to stand against the Egyptians no matter how difficult, how impossible it looks. Because God will honor the preaching of the word. God will honor the praying of the word. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody help me preach this thing. Judgment can lie in the hand of the people of God when we stand in boldness and preach and prophesy and proclaim the word of God in righteousness and refuse to be moved. Judgment came by the hand of Moses. God did his part, but if Moses wasn't there, it never would have happened. The Israelites all could have just died if Moses didn't have the boldness to do what he did. I'm here tonight to instill boldness on the inside of you. I'm here tonight to give a commission to you that it's time that you take up the mantle and the call on your life, just like Pastor Bob has taken up the mantle and the call on his. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It takes leadership. Moses stood up against the impossible. We need leaders that follow God, not leaders that find what the majority likes and then only preach what they want to hear. That's not leadership. Just because somebody is standing in front of a people group and happens to be at the front of that people group doesn't make them a leader. That probably just makes them a bumper. We need leaders that are going to hear what God has to say and say it and speak it regardless of what the consequences are. Got to make up our minds right now. If somebody puts a gun to your head, I've preached the gospel with a gun to my head once. I was at an ATM, somebody came and tried to rob me, and I thought, I've looked at more intimidating people than this guy before, except for the fact he had a revolver stuck to my head, and I began to do the soul-winning script on that guy. I never feared one ounce. I'm telling you, boldness like a lion, hallelujah. Boldness like a lion. We need leaders that will follow God, not leaders that will find what the majority likes and only preach what the majority wants to hear. They are merely teachers that have been heaped together by the lust of people. 2 Timothy 4:3. Just because they were visual and at the front of a group doesn't mean they are leaders. 2 Timothy 4:3 talks about heaping up, having itching ears and heaping up teachers, telling them what they want to hear. That is not the gospel. We need leaders. The second thing that I want to tell you tonight is it takes signs and wonders. Moses broke the bondage of evil leadership with signs and wonders. And this verse somebody gave me, he worked a sign and a wonder in Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. He spoke, stretched out his staff, and called out darkness over the land, and it was so dark that they could cut it with a knife, and nobody left their house for several days. Signs and wonders. In a land where the people of God were under bondage, when there was nothing that they could do in the realm of the natural to get free, signs and wonders is what began to break the back of that stronghold. And Jesus, when he was in Capernaum, when there was nothing that could break through to those people, when they were in bondage because the leadership was evil, so evil that they were going to be cast down to hell, so evil that that city was buried, and they had to unbury it for us to go take a look at it on the Israel trip. Jesus broke through that with signs and wonders. I'm telling you, church, we've got to have the commission of signs and wonders on us. It's important. It's not as important as the gospel of salvation, but signs and wonders will lift the gospel message to the place that it needs to be. Paul in Acts chapter 19, when he was in Ephesus, fought tremendous opposition. You can get off the seaport there. You may have studied this. You can get off the seaport there. Ephesus was the biggest, best, most decorated city in the world of that day. It'd be like going into New York City today. And Paul, you could get out of the seaport there and begin to walk down the road of Ephesus. The road was completely paved with stone, fit perfectly and carved and in the perfect position, and nice walls and pillars on the side. And then you'd walk down the street and there were idols just one after another. The idolatry in that city was unbelievable. Paul had tremendous opposition. It was one of the later assignments that took place in his life. Probably one of the greatest assignments that Paul had in his ministry was Ephesus. As you can read in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Why don't you just take a look at it with me? How God began to break through this. It was leadership, but it was also signs and wonders. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Glory to God. This is how God began to deal with it. Verse 11 and 12, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. God granted special miracles. So it takes leadership, but it also takes boldness. Ah, hallelujah. When we've got situations when there's great resistance, when we've got prophetic words, when it seems like America's not going to see revival, I'm telling you, a part of it may not, praise God, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And as for the preaching of the gospel, however far and wide the television broadcast, the ministry here at Calvary Cathedral is going to reach, however everywhere that we go, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see signs and wonders take place. I'm telling you, in America will be shaken by the power of the Holy Ghost. And people and individuals and leaders can harden their heart against it if they want to, but woe unto them. But I'm telling you, the majority of the United States is going to turn to Jesus Christ. You can quote me on that. The majority of the United States of America is turning to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The majority of this nation is turning to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, we will be just like Capernaum. If leadership wants to bury this nation like Capernaum was buried, I pray it doesn't. But if it does, a million years from now, the majority, I believe, in the name of Jesus, of the United States population is going to be found in heaven praising and rejoicing in their salvation. Hallelujah. So don't be dismayed when you hear and read about stuff. Don't be discouraged. I'm telling you, just let it put another iron in a fire. Let it just stoke the fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you even more. It takes a fear not boldness. In spite of poverty, they were rich in Smyrna. I don't have time to get to this tonight, but you can turn to Revelation chapter 2 and 3 about Jesus' message to the churches in Smyrna. I want you to read there later on, but they had a boldness. It takes a fear not boldness. Telling you, great fear is going to come. Great fear is already coming. But no plague will come nigh your dwelling. So we don't have to be afraid of Ebola. You've got to have a fear, not boldness. If the opportunity comes for you to pray for somebody with Ebola, what are you going to do? You're going to lay hands on them? Or you're going to quarantine them first? You got to be led by the Holy Ghost, because if your faith isn't there to be lay hands on them, don't do it. But you got to have a fear, not boldness. No plague is going to come near your dwelling. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. We need to read this, actually, as I wrap this up. Hallelujah. I would encourage you to read through chapter 2 and 3 and see what New Testament judgment is. But this is really good on Smyrna. In verse 8 of chapter 2 in Revelation, verse 8. In chapter 2. And Jesus is saying unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? These things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I love how every time in all the seven churches that Jesus starts a message, he starts it off with proclaiming something awesome about himself. And these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Well, I want to listen to that guy. The first and the last, the one that was dead and is alive, I think I'm listening to him. He knows a little bit more than somebody in leadership that's going to try to send subpoenas to pastors and try to control what they're going to preach. He knows a little bit more than somebody that's going to stand up and say the United States is no longer a Christian nation. The first and the last, the one that was dead and is alive. Hallelujah. Verse 9, I know your works in tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I love that right there. He knows, hey, in the natural you may be suffering, but you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of those which say they are Jews and are not, but of are the synagogue of Satan. Demonic religious attack coming against the church at Smyrna. In verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Fear not, Jesus is saying. I'm telling you tonight, fear not what you hear. Fear not. Now is not the time to hear a message about what's going on somewhere down the street, down the road, down I-45, and begin to get afraid and start to change what you're doing. Fear not tonight. Fear not. Jesus said, fear none of these things in verse 10, which you will suffer. And look at what he's saying here. Fear none of these things which you shall suffer. Well, when the Lord says you're about to suffer, that's something that you can't rebuke, no matter how much you want to. We've got to take up our cross and follow him. And John, the Revelator, who's relaying this message, if you really study it out, he is abandoned on the Isle of Patmos to die. And that was the good part. Before they took him to the Isle of Patmos, they tried boiling him in oil and they couldn't kill him because his assignment wasn't over. They put him in a pot of boiling oil and they could not kill John. So he knows a little bit of what he's talking about. He's qualified to relay this message to the church. Fear none of these things which you will suffer. But behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Now, if the Lord is telling you that the devil's going to cast some of you into prison, then that's going to happen. And I'm not trying to bring doom and gloom, but look, I think that's why I said earlier, are you an American Christian or are you a gospel Christian? If push comes to shove and something's like, man, if I do this, I'm going to jail. Well, I don't want that to happen. Anybody who's ever been in jail, you know you don't want that to happen. But what a message to receive from the Lord. We have pastors, brothers in the Lord in Houston that have that message right now. There's nothing to stop the government of Houston from as far as I know, from going and arresting them and putting them in jail for a night. There are preachers in the U.S. that have had that happen for doing nothing wrong in the eyes of God. So we cannot claim that, well, in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to do this, and it's not God's will for me, this and that. And if resistance gets strong enough, well, it's just not God's will for me to do that because I'm never going to jail. I'm never doing that in the name of Jesus. Look, if God's given us a word, I'm not saying that God's telling you tonight that you're going to jail. I am definitely not telling you that. But it's reality. It's reality for 5 pastors down in Houston, Texas. Hallelujah. So Jesus here is saying this. He's not using mind over matter to try to get them out. Faith can't override. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith can't override the will of God. I don't know if there might be some of us here tonight that at some point before the Lord returns, the gospel is going to put somebody in jail. Are you willing to do it? I can't imagine anything more horrible. But are you willing to do it? My message tonight, revival and judgment, a nation at stake. Well, this is the price that our forefathers spiritually paid. I mean, it was real to them. What do you do when the Lord gives you a word like that? How do you pray? I'm going to jail. My Lord, God himself just told me that I'm going to be in jail. And I think he said, just read on here, verse 10, fear none of these things which you shall suffer. The devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Verse 11, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. So Jesus starts the message with victory. He says unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, says the first and the last, he which was dead and is alive. And he ends the message with victory. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Well, praise God tonight. I'm ending it with victory. God's ending for you is victory. Praise God. But I want to encourage you, regardless of what happens, regardless of what takes place in the United States and all the prophetic words that are going on, we're going to see the majority of the United States saved and in heaven someday. Hallelujah. Praise God. We lift up the leadership. We need Christians in leadership. But the ultimate leader is the Lord of hosts, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one that was the first and the last. He's the one that was dead but yet now lives. Hallelujah. He is our ultimate leadership. Glory to God. He determines our destiny. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you as I finish up. All these openings that Jesus gave to every church in Revelation, he is the one that holds the angels of the churches in his hands, who walks amidst the seven churches. He is the first and the last, the one which was dead and is alive, who has a sharp sword with two edges, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. Praise God. This is the message that God has for you tonight. His eyes are like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. He has the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, and is the one that is holy, the one that is true, hallelujah, that has the key of David, the one that opens and no man shuts, the one that shuts and no man opens. Glory to God. He is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, stand up on your feet tonight and rejoice with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to read this again. Hallelujah, because you need to rejoice about this tonight. In Revelation, he is the one who holds the angels of the churches. This is pure scripture that I'm reading to you. He is the one who holds the angels of the churches in his hand, who walks amidst the seven churches, the first and the last, the one which was dead and is alive, who has the sharp sword with two edges, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire and feet like fine brass, who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He is the one that is holy, the one that is true, has the key of David. He opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. He is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I preach myself happy tonight. Hallelujah. So Moses stretched out his hand in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, and darkness came over a part of the people. But it was the people that were not serving God, the people that had rebelled against God. So yeah, troubling times are coming, but if you'll stand for God, if you'll follow leadership, the three things that I get, let me just give this to you again. It takes leadership, signs and wonders, and a fear not boldness. If you will stand in that, I'm telling you, there's nothing but good news coming for you. You can endure whatever it is the devil's going to throw at you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I would sure hate for anybody in this place to go through tonight and know what Jesus has taken you out of and miss heaven. I would sure hate for anybody in this place tonight to miss the one that holds the seven churches in his hands, to miss the one that is holy and is true. Regardless of what you think about Jesus, you may think that he did you wrong and he led you wrong and he hurt you and the way your family was when you grew up wasn't fair. But I'm telling you, he is the one that is holy and he is the one that is true. I'm so sorry that somebody in your family made a drastic mistake and ruined your life, it seemed like forever. But Jesus is the one that is holy. He is the one that is true. And it would be so sad for you to miss him tonight. Man, so many of us in here tonight are so excited and on fire about what's coming, even though there are troubling times taking place right now, troubling times ahead. Probably the high majority of us in this place are excited and thrilled about what God has for us. But it would be so sad if there was just one person in this place that missed God's plan for your life. You don't have to go to heaven. There's no reason for you. You don't have to go to hell. There's no reason for you to go there. There's nothing you've done that is too bad for God. There's nothing you've done that is too evil for the blood of Jesus to not wash away and remove from your life. Jesus has everything taken care of, but you've got to surrender your life to Him. It would be so sad if anybody in this place were to miss the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation.